Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jordana and Paul, stay tuned. In about an hour, we're giving away Journey tickets.
Yes, we are. 510, Journey and the Pretenders. We talk a lot about health care.
Yes.
Nobody has the answer key. Elizabeth Warren, you know, talking about Medicare for all, and she just recently disclosed ways how she's going to do that without taxing the middle class. Anything we can do to increase access, more people have access to health care, and lower costs is a great thing. And how do we use technology? How do we leverage new tech to make sure that there's more democracy in healthcare, how we administer that? So we wanted to talk with an expert specifically about this. And this is Professor Dan McLaughlin. He's director of the Center for Innovation in the Business of Healthcare at the University of St. Thomas, Opus College of Business. Professor McLaughlin, thank you for joining Jura and me today.
Happy to be here.
Tell us about Hitch Health. What's your elevator pitch? I know it's a startup or close to a startup. Tell our listeners what Hitch Health does.
Well, Hennepin County Medical Center had a problem with missed appointments. About 20% of the times, people weren't shown to their appointments. So they developed a new system to provide transportation to patients so they can get there on time. So that's the essence of it. And they used some kind of fancy technology inside their electronic health record system. And then they also used a technology we call human-centered design to really see how patients thought about getting transportation and use that to develop a new system.
So is this like Uber for patients who have to go to an appointment?
Or Lyft?
It's actually Lyft.
Lyft, okay.
Interestingly enough.
So you use Lyft to get patients. And who pays for that?
The hospital pays for it because if the patient shows up, they can bill for the patient. So otherwise, they got a hole in their schedule. Sometimes the health insurance will pay, but most of the time, the hospital itself pays for it.
20%. That's a really high number, Professor. One out of five people has issues just getting to see professional health care. I understand the transportation challenge. Is that a number that applies nationwide, or is that unique to us here in Minnesota?
Well, it's more unique to safety net hospitals like Hennepin County Medical Center.
Okay.
That have a lot of low-income patients. A lot of them don't have cars. And so they have to find, you know, a bus route or something, or they might get a taxi, but that's very expensive, and sometimes the taxis don't show. And when the Hennepin County people really looked at the problem with the patients and kind of went, you know, followed them around on buses and saw what really happened, they said, whoa, well, this doesn't work very well. So
right.
That's the problem.
And Dan, when you say safety net hospitals, you mean hospitals for people who don't have health care, who don't really know where to go to get quality help. Is that right?
That's right. And Hennepin County Medical Center goes back to 1857, as Minneapolis General Hospital has been doing that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And Regents Hospital in St. Paul has been one. And then if you go to the other big cities, Chicago, you'll see Cook County Hospitals. They're all over the country, but that's one of their main missions is that.
So because now you have to sign away your life and the HIPAA and all this stuff, how do you get around like privacy issues when you're sending a Lyft driver who knows that person is going to get some kind of a checkup?
Well, the transportation stuff, I don't believe, is protected by HIPAA. The fact that somebody's going to go be picked up, that could be the same thing as a taxi cab.
Oh, so the Lyft driver doesn't – well, they're dropping them at the hospital, but they don't know anything about the condition or anything like that.
Right, they don't know any of the technical things about why they're going to the hospital.
Right. Okay.
Got it.
So what if the person – but what if it needs like a special lift, if there's a wheelchair or something like that?
Well, then we have specialized medical transportation, and that is usually paid for by insurance or by government programs.
Got it. You're right. Sorry. Got it.
So we still have a problem in this country, stating the obvious when it comes to health care and looking for ways to lower costs. I know there's a big conference focused on the business of health care coming up Friday of this week. What are you most excited about, Dan?
Well, this is our annual Future of Healthcare conference we have here at St. Thomas. And we focus on innovation, basically, new ideas that are kind of creative. And over the last couple of years, it's really been digital. And ideas like what the folks at HCMC did with Hitch are pretty examples. And I was just looking at the stuff for – it's on Friday. Like, we have a whole bunch of stuff on artificial intelligence about where that fits in. We have one thing I'm kind of fascinated with from Hazelden, talking about telemedicine for chemical use disorder. And so that's kind of things you never think about being telemedicine for, but yes, by golly, you can do that. So there's kind of exciting things on the horizon here.
And I wonder, too, if, you know, with 5G, you know, all the carriers now trumpeting 5G, well, why should I upgrade to 5G? What is that going to do? And I think one of the things is telemedicine, having the bandwidth in real time to be diagnosed from a doctor on your phone. That's something I don't think we can do now, at least not the way that many people envision it. So I'm fascinated by that as well.
No, you're right. The bandwidth, and particularly in rural areas where they do have even just plain old Wi-Fi doesn't work that well in some of those areas, getting those upgrades is going to make a huge difference. And you're right. The high-density medical information, for example, like an imaging, takes a long time on the current systems. But 5G is going to make it a lot faster.
Good.
We're speaking with Professor Dan McLaughlin, the director of the Center for Innovation in the Business of Healthcare in the University of St. Thomas Opus College for Business. That was a long title. But, Dan, you used to be the CEO of HCMC. Now, just back to this idea of Hitch, how do patients know about this? Like, many might be listening now thinking, well, yeah, I'd love a free ride to my appointment. Do they have to download an app? Do they tell their appointment, you know, the person who made their appointment that they need a ride? How does it functionally work?
Well, they do it through the clinic. So they're usually patients that HCMC normally sees. And part of this is the kind of fancy technology part is the computers kind of say, oh, this patient probably will need a ride. And so then the clinic staff talk to them about it. The other thing is, though, they did test kind of fancy apps and decided that was not the way to go with these particular patients and that text messages were actually the best way. So they'd send a text message to you and say, hey, the Lyft ride's on the way and the driver is Jim. And the fun thing, they come and sometimes we do a case study on them, and they were telling us in one of our classes one day that they tested 37 different kinds of text messages to see which one really actually worked right with patients, because people get scammed a lot on their phones.
Right. Well, this is exciting stuff, Dan, and thank you so much for sharing this, and we wish you and Hitch Health the very best, and please keep in touch. Any other innovations that you think listeners need to know about, especially if they're incubated here in Minnesota? We have a soft spot in our heart for Minnesota healthcare entrepreneurs. So keep up the great work and congrats.
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet. That was Professor Dan McLaughlin, director of the Center for Innovation in the Business of Healthcare at the University of St. Thomas Opus College of Business. That may be the longest title I've ever read.
Title.
Can we just call you Dan?
Yeah. That's a very long title,
That was interesting.
No,
it makes sense.
Very. I mean, it seems so simple, but those are the best ideas. People are missing appointments because they can't get there.
Yeah.
Because they're low income, or they don't, or their parking is too much for them, or they're confused, or they don't feel good because they're sick. So go send a car for them. The $7 cab or the Lyft ride from where they live is worth it to get them in to see their doctor.
You know where my brain went? Why Lyft? Why not Uber?
No, we didn't ask him.
Maybe there must be a good answer to that.
You got to think about those questions while we have the guy on the phone, not after.
I hope you'll answer that for me, Jure. Go.
Something up. Apparently, we're having a climate emergency. Like, what the heck? I know. See, he's yawning.
God. No, not yawning. It's a sigh.
A new study dropped yesterday on the 40th anniversary of the World Climate Conference. More than 11,000 scientists signed off on it, and they say it is damaging. We're going to talk more about that next.
Paul and Jordana.
I think I saw a flake or two. I think I saw some flurries. I immediately ran out to the grocery store, stocked up on milk and bread.
Bread and milk. Yeah,
oh, my God. Yes, this is tragic, tragic news.
You know, I was in the East Coast this weekend, and it's very mild there compared to what's happening. It was 50. We were walking around with light jackets, and then we come home, and we saw the nice coating, so thanks.
Yeah, sure, but they get hurricanes.
A new study came out yesterday. On the 40th anniversary of the first World Climate Conference, really 40 years ago. At least 40 years ago, we were thinking about climate change.
Yeah, but it was just a theory. It was a theory.
But we weren't doing anything about it then, but people were thinking about it. More than 11,000 scientists signed off on this new study, and it doesn't look good, my friends. It doesn't look good. It basically says we haven't done enough in the last 40 years and that things are getting worse. Here's just a couple of notes from the study, because it's a big one. They say population growth increased meat production, and air travel, among other issues, are contributing to the warmer temps. They call it a climate emergency. So you're my expert, and you're the guy next to me. So do you agree?
Boy, you know, I think some of this is warranted. Much of this is warranted. I'm going to get in trouble, whatever I say. I've been talking about this for 20 years.
But that's the point. You've been talking about this for 20 years, and it feels like we haven't been listening until now. Well, I've been listening because I love you. But,
well, some people still aren't listening and shrug it away and say, if it's happening, there's nothing we can do, or it's not going to be too bad. It's not a fatal heart attack. It's not a fatal stroke. The world is not going to end in 12 years or 20 years or 50 years. The world will be just fine, with or without us. The world will go on.
So the problem is just for the humans?
It's like epilepsy. And if you're epileptic, you have a seizure.
Uh-huh.
We're going to have more of these seizures. They're going to happen more often. They're going to be more expensive. They will affect more people. And that's what we're faced with. So
what about the part where they say population growth, increased meat production, and air travel? Would you identify those as the main or the top three causes?
I think we're still way too reliant on fossil fuels.
Okay.
To generate electricity, mm-hmm. To power our vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
We need to electrify the grid, and that's happening over time. XL Energy, among others, leading the charge mm-hmm. there because the cost of solar, wind, energy storage is coming down so dramatically faster than the cost of even natural gas.
The solar-powered airplanes?
You know, they're coming. Battery-powered biofuels?
Mm-hmm.
You know, every single challenge has a solution, and some of them are obvious now, some of them not so obvious, but we need to find ways to have everything we want with less carbon.
Now, even the scientists that said, yeah, things are bad, they say, but, you know, there are things we can do. This is the third time I've heard this, I think, in a week. They say eat more plant-based foods. We love our farmers, but are these cows a major contributor? And I heard it's not the cow farts, it's the burps.
It's the burps that produce more methane, but it's also just the amount of land
that the cattle need.
I see. So, but again, if everybody on the planet planted a tree, mm-hmm. billions of trees, that would lower CO2 by about 5 or 6%. We need to find ways to electrify everything that we do and to rely more on renewables. And it's not going to happen overnight. We can't just cut off fossil fuels.
Right.
Fossil fuels got us to where we are today. And it's a little disingenuous to throw them under the bus because we wouldn't have the success or the standard of living, the quality of life.
When you know better, you do better.
Right.
Thanks so much. This has been great, but we need to move on.
We have to dial down fossil fuels gradually, methodically, as we dial up renewables. Yep. And that's happening. We just need to go faster. I think many times I get a little concerned. The gloom and doom, much of it is warranted, but when people hear gloom and doom, they curl up in the fetal position. They shut down.
I feel that same way.
You have to start with solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we have everything we need. Solar has come down 80% in 10 years. Wind has come down 65%. The price. The price of energy storage, these big-ass batteries,
mm-hmm.
has come down 76% in 7 years. So, again, we're moving in the right direction. There's already a signal in the market for less carbon. And even the oil companies now admit, mm-hmm. yeah, we're complicit.
Right,
you know,
right.
Burning oil and coal mm-hmm. heats up the atmosphere. They are not arguing that fact anymore.
So now it's on us. Now we know the science.
We have to make smart decisions, and we have to elect people that have a sound respect for science.
That's fair.
Period.
I think that's fair.
On either side
that
of the
we
aisle.
We can do. That's something we can all do.
We can talk about it. And you know what? Young people are leading the charge. They're pissed off,
mm-hmm.
and they have every right to be,
mm-hmm.
because their parents, their grandparents just kind of sat on their hands.
Mm-hmm.
They're the generation that I think will be the next greatest generation.
Yeah.
We can have everything we want and do so with less carbon. period.
Okay, the study's frightening, but they say it is not all gloom and doom. They give you some things you can do, like I just said, you know, cutting down, you know, they say eat more plant-based foods. Mm-hmm. They say stabilize the human population with things like family planning services. You know, we don't think here in America we get to choose how many kids we have. In other places, they don't always get to choose that.
I think the big question now, Jordana, and we need to wrap this up, does it mean more government intervention?
Well,
government regulation.
Why can't it just mean smarter regulation?
Or does it mean
okay. I hear what
unleash
you're
the markets, you know, mm-hmm. capitalism 2.0 to come up with the solutions that we need?
Well, based on how our government's been running the last few years, and I mean both parties, the incompetence and the impotence in the government is profound. So I think only private industry can save us now.
When people realize they can save money with clean energy, that's the tipping point. And that's starting to happen. So most days I'm optimistic.
That's good. I'm optimistic when I hear about a man who stole an electric shopping cart from Walmart to avoid getting a DUI. He's my hero today.
Okay.
Hear more of that story next.
Paul and Jordana. Beyond the headlines.
Okay, I'm curious what you think about this.
Uh-oh.
Emma Watson?
Is that Hermione Granger?
Emma Watson? Yeah, Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, Hermione. Yeah. Well, I know her as Hermione Granger
yeah,
from
yeah.
Harry Potter. Thank you very much. I'm a massive Potterhead.
Joe, she is not single. She is self-partnered.
She is. I think that's a very cool term.
Self-partnered.
I think that's very cool, actually.
Yeah, so she describes the stress about turning 30. I'd like to have a little bit of that stress
of turning 30. I know. She's a rich and famous actress. So
while figuring out how to navigate her love life, mm-hmm. starting a family, building a home. She says she's very happy being single.
Single. And single, too, but yes.
She's happy being single, but she added, quote, I call it being self-partnered.
Yes. I like that. She's choosing her. That's okay. She's choosing her.
This is part of a larger trend. Sologamy. Marrying oneself.
Okay, that's a little extreme. That's taking the trend over the line.
Japanese travel agencies offer solo wedding packages.
That's
wedding
just
dress,
a vacation.
Bouquet, limo, hotel stay, and photo album just for yourself. An Italian woman once hosted a fairy tale wedding without the prince, just herself and 70 guests.
That's a party. That's a celebration
that's,
of you. That's,
yeah.
you know, your 30th birthday party. Do that. But, I mean, it's not a wedding. You're not joining two souls.
But saying single, I mean, it's not a pejorative, right? I'm single.
Self-partner.
Self-partner. Yes. Yes.
All right, so this guy's not really my hero, but this is fairly hilarious. Bruce Kendall Williams, 32, from Louisiana, was charged with a felony of unauthorized use of a motorized shopping cart when he was found over half a mile away from a Walmart, going one bar to another. His bond was set as $2,500. What he did was he stole an electric-powered shopping cart from Walmart because he wanted to go bar hopping but didn't want to get a DUI. He thought he couldn't get charged with a DUI if he was driving the shopping cart. So he got charged with felony unauthorized use of a motor vehicle. What an idiot. But I like how he thought it through.
Well,
he's like, I don't want to drink and drive.
Yeah.
That's not okay. I
don't
want to
hurt anybody.
I mean, you could.
But I mean, a lawnmower, even riding lawnmowers, you can get written up on a riding lawnmower.
Absolutely. So he thought it through, didn't want to hurt any. By the way, not an advocate for this. Member of MAD. Don't drink and drive anything, even your lawnmower. But kind of clever.
Yeah, okay. I give
through.
Him a B minus for creativity.
Was looking for a workaround.
Yeah, he tried. You try until you fail. You fail until you succeed. Elon Musk from Tesla is unveiling a pickup truck in a couple of weeks on November 21st. He calls it a cyber truck.
But so you. Are you going to get one?
I'm looking at it. I'm not in love with what these things look like.
Oh, really?
I took a look at it, and I'm not sure this is what they're actually going to debut.
Does it have room for your gun rack?
Can always make room for the gun rack. Thank you for bringing
just
that.
Just making sure it has all the bells and whistles.
That was a dig, wasn't it? Yeah. Can you turn off your mic?
Well, you're just like the only guy I know that has a Tesla and a pickup truck.
I'm in a unique demographic.
Really?
I got a foot in both camps, and it's
perfect.
Painful. It's painful. And I got a BMW.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. So here's the deal. Elon wanted it priced less than 50 grand. So
they
think it's going to be less than 50 grand. Top level trim. The Tesla truck should boast a range of between 400 and 500 miles on a charge. Charge this baby up in your garage, and then you can go 400 to 500 miles.
Wow.
All-wheel drive. The suspension will dynamically adjust according to its load. Being electric and a truck means it's going to have gobs of torque. Musk once tweeted it would tow 300,000 pounds. It's got a 240-volt power supply for all the work tools, a unique drop-down tailgate, and will parallel park automatically, a pickup that parks itself.
I know, but do you really need the parallel parking on the farm?
Well, now that's...
got a lot of space
for
the
pickup. Don't assume
that
just...
Wasn't that what pickups are for? You're working. It's a working vehicle. I mean, not for you, but it's a working vehicle.
It's a working vehicle, but others drive pickups because they need the payload. They need the torque. They're towing stuff. Doesn't mean you work on a farm.
It doesn't.
No. But, I mean, I think it's still the most popular vehicle out there, and every car company,
is
Ford.
Is that true? The pickup is the most popular?
Yes, absolutely.
Is that true, David?
By far. Hands down.
I have missed
the
this
most
boat.
Popular vehicle out there.
Do I need to
there.
Drive a pickup truck?
Well...
I got to put my kids somewhere. I can't throw them in the back.
There's some cool ones out there. But
wait, can I throw my kids in the back?
Sure you can.
No, you can't.
You can do it once.
You can't put a car seat in the back.
You're the worst.
If they misbehave, you can put them in the back. And just a lawn chair. Just have them sitting there screaming.
Please don't do any of the things we're talking about on the show today.
Screaming as you head down 694. My point is Ford and GM, all of the car companies are coming up with electric pickup trucks. All of them. So
I like that. So, I like electric everything.
I think it's pretty cool. We'll see what happens there. But again, talking about clean energy, having everything you want, and saving money in the process.
Right. It's the perfect marriage for you.
Yeah, we'll see.
Have you heard of the turducken?
Turducken. You know, I know. Why would you do that?
So it's like a turkey baked in a... No. It's a chicken baked inside a duck, baked inside a turkey. I guess this is a thing that people do for Thanksgiving.
On a dare? Why do they do that?
Well, David, have you had a turducken? Because you seemed awfully familiar with them when we were discussing this.
I think I was at a party where somebody had one.
Where
one
there
time.
Was
one.
Like
I
an had, actual
but it's
turducken.
I think it's more of like a punchline. It's more of a Thanksgiving punchline. Like, okay. Who's bringing their turducken? It's a real thing. I think you can get them at Byerly's.
No, that's not really.
I think it's. I'm going to look that up right now.
It's not a vegetarian alternative
Definitely
to
not.
Turkey.
It's no.
Right?
No, it is not. It's actual meat or poultry. Okay, so anyway, but what I'm telling you is you can actually have a vegetarian alternative because Pringles has unveiled their seasonal food flavored chip, and it is the turducken. It's turducken Pringles, okay? So the chips don't go inside of the duck or inside of the turkey or inside of the chicken or anything like that. There are three individual flavors, so it's up to the snacker to determine the order. So what, you know, like you would make a turducken, I guess you would stick a chicken in a duck in a turkey. You have like chicken flavored Pringles, duck flavored Pringles, and then turkey flavored Pringles, and you mush them together or you hold them together and you eat them together, and then you have turducken Pringles.
Turducken, really?
That was a lot of work for
have
that.
Have we run out
segment.
Of ideas?
Yeah, that was a lot of work for that.
Really?
Lunds and Byerly's and Whole Foods both carry turducken.
So what does it look like?
This is why people
fast.
Like,
is it carved up already, or is it...
I think a lot of them are, they are deboned, so it's just this giant hunk of bird in many layers.
Mm.
I really learned a lot on this show today. I've learned about the pickup truck. I'm learning about the turducken. Very educational today, kiddos.
Can we end on a high note?
Yeah, please, because I don't... Yeah.
The University of Alaska at Anchorage... is now telling all the people that go there and park there that anybody with unpaid parking fines can pay up in PB&J.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
It's to combat student hunger. So the PB&J is going to go to students.
So you donate like peanut butter and jelly and bread?
To pay your fine That's with smart. PB&J instead of That's cash. Smart. Any unopened, commercially produced nut butter, almond, cashew, peanut butter, or any flavor of jam, jelly, marmalade, or preserves will be accepted. Can you imagine people bringing in all their jelly and jam?
Do you know that I did not receive my diploma from Syracuse University because I had unpaid parking tickets?
Really?
And it was like a few. It wasn't a lot of unpaid parking.
So you
tickets.
Were a lawbreaker.
Maybe there were like two or three. Yeah, I'm a rule follower, but I guess I had like two or three. But wow. I was broke, like broke in college. And I had a job, taught water aerobics my senior year.
Water aerobics?
Did not get paid very well. And I guess I just didn't have the money to pay him, and I didn't want to ask my parents. So I came home without my diploma. Whatever they handed me on stage was not the real diploma. And I came home without the diploma.
Ugh.
And like a year or two later, they sent me the diploma.
Really?
I guess they were like, what's this sitting around in this office, you know, in the office of whatever,
did
alumni?
Did you pay the fines?
No, I never paid the fines. And they sent me the diploma. Ask where it's sitting now. It's in a box somewhere, maybe in my mother's house. I mean, the degree means a lot, but the diploma to hang on the wall, I guess.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? My parents don't know that story.
Kind of a rule
breaker. It's a good thing
they
never listen to the show.
I'm going to call your mom after the show.
You know, Paul's diploma is in his office. I saw it on the shelf the other day. It's right here in his office down the hall. Yeah.
My wife won't let me hang it up in the study. I said, can I put it in the garage? She goes, nope,
out. Well, you can put it here.
I got my Sopranos poster here.
You have your autonomy over the 5-foot by 5-foot office you have.
That's right. My coffin. All right. We're out of time.
Yeah,
mercifully.
We are. Thank God.
4:48, Wixon Jewelers time. The non-commissioned team of experts at Wixon in Bloomington will ensure that your visit is nothing short of unforgettable.
Paul and Jordana.
So the Wolves play in Memphis tonight. Cat Karl-Anthony Towns is back. Tip-off at 7, pregame 6:30 right here on CCO.
The real breaking news is right now Mike Max is in a duck blind. And if you don't come back with something delicious, then you can't be on the show anymore.
Let me tell you something. I got a picture. My one phone down with Joe Berglove, one of the great hunters from WCCO. He said, have your hunting guide with you. I don't know what the temperature is out there. I'm not saying we're hunting right now, but if you can check Valley City, North Dakota, Paul, that's where we're in a duck blind somewhere up in Valley City.
Oh, God. God's country,
Hang on one second.
It's about 18 degrees.
Hang on. Let's go.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
Did you get him?
That's right. Yep. Oh, well, that's our limit for the day.
Wait, that was Santa. You got Santa Claus.
That was the final one, man. And I got a great, wow. I was a great picture of all these dead ducks. I mean, the holidays coming up, that'll be perfect for the Christmas card. Don't you think?
Oh, Maxie.
What's the temperature here? Can you check, Paul?
Yeah, I checked. It's 16 degrees with a wind chill of 2, buddy. Are you bundled up?
Exactly what it feels like.
No exposed skin.
We had to look hard just to find open water, you know, because there's so much ice out here, but we found just enough, and I'll be darned if the ducks can find us.
And wow. This is fun?
Oh, gosh. So much. Do I have to come home?
Yeah, you do have to come home.
Maxie,
your wife says.
We're not on the air, so please talk freely. Do you have a flask? Do you have a flask just to warm you up a little?
Don't even need one. The action's been so good, and thermos of coffee, and Joe and his dog, and we had a good time.
Awesome.
Well, Maxie, as someone who's never been duck hunting, try to snap a few pictures, too, if your phone is out there, because I'd like to...
Here's the deal. Either you fall in love with it or you don't. It's really simple. You take kids, that's amazing. Like, the same family can have 4 kids. 2 of them love it, 2 of them don't. Who knows why? You get up early in the morning, you come out, and it isn't always cold. Early October, it's not cold. And you watch the sun come up, and you set decoys out, and you have a cup of coffee, and you see things that you never see otherwise, because who would come out to these remote places left to their own devices, you know?
That's Mike Max. We got to leave him to his own devices. Well, we're out.
Paul and Jordana.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.